Welcome to the Spirituality What? Podcast, where we explore the mysteries, joys, and challenges of being spiritual beings navigating our unpredictable human experience we call life here on planet Earth. I'm your friendly guide, Rebecca, ready to jump into our adventure of the day. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Spirituality What? Podcast. This is Rebecca. It is Wednesday. It's cray cray, middle of August. Like, what is happening to this year? And we today are going to dive into numerology as spiritual beings with Nova Lee Wilder. So Nova Lee is a Danish actress and artist turned professional numerologist, writer, and mentor, and she lives in Los Angeles, California. After a life-altering experience changing her name with the help of numerology, she was called to this tool. And now she offers this powerful tool of self-discovery and transformation to others. So you can schedule appointments, which I am definitely going to do for my birthday month this year in November with Nova Lee. So I'm really excited for that. She's also the author of A Little Bit of Numerology and A Little Bit of Angel Numbers, and the host of the Numerology Podcast and the founder of the Numerology School. So she is a busy bee. And we talk today about a lot of fun stuff. So I met Nova Lee for the first time recording this episode, which was really fun. It was a very different experience. I found Nova Lee on this website called podcastguest.com. And if you're interested in learning a bit more about what that website is, I'll talk about that in the outro for today. But to get into a little bit of today, we're going to talk about numerology in general. What is it? What is a name vibration? We're going to talk a little bit about Nova Lee and growing up in Denmark and kind of what religion meant to her growing up, how she got to numerology in New York with this name change. So that's kind of an exciting part. We're going to talk a little bit about her books and talk about base numbers, so first and second base numbers from the Chaldean numerology and their relationship to the name vibrations. So let's get to it. All right, everybody, welcome back to the Spirituality What? Podcast. I'm Rebecca. I'm here today with a new acquaintance, Nova Lee. Nova Lee, can you introduce yourself?
Thank you, Rebecca. Thank you for having me. Yes, I can introduce myself. So I'm Nova Lee Wilder. I'm a professional numerologist, which means that I work with numbers and names and dates and angel numbers and pricing and titles and when you should do a thing and when you should not do a thing according to the day you were born and the name you carry. And I'm specifically focused on names, what we call ourselves, the name changes we go through in life. I'm also a raging feminist, so I also have opinions about like women getting married and taking on the last name totally. of men and stuff like that. Yeah. But I mean, numerology, I just want to like jump on that because that's probably your next question. Like, what is it? So I just wanted to share that like numerology is like astrology's sister or best friend. So I look at numbers, that's my map. Other people look at planets or zodiac signs. Again, other people look at like human design, or they go into the Akashic records and read maps there. And to me, all of these things, all these tools are like a way of reading the same map. So a numerologist will read the map of you through the numbers in your birthday and the energies of your name. I feel like that's like something most people go, oh, okay. So the map is just looking, it's looking different, but it's still like the map of me. Yeah. Okay. And then specifically name vibrations are kind of like filters, which we all get in this day and age. And we know that a filter goes two ways. So it's both how we look at someone, but also it might be how they look at themselves. Okay. Yeah. So.
Awesome. Well, it's going to be a really interesting conversation today. But before we jump into numerology, relationship to spirituality, relationship to our existence in these bodies on this planet, which is, I think, very related to our names. So that's going to be interesting. I want to ask you the question that I ask everybody on this podcast. It's the first question, which is, what does spirituality mean to you?
So 10 years ago, I think spirituality was very close to religion for me,
Okay.
which was that I was like, that's a little weird. Or like I grew up in a country, I grew up in Denmark, and I felt like a lot of religious and spiritual things were perceived as something that you were a little bit naive or a little bit stupid or a little bit simple if you believe in these things. And as I have had a lot of spiritual awakenings and experiences, suddenly I'm like, spirituality is in no way separate. Like it is part of the fabric of what makes the world and what makes me. And it gives me a language and tools that I didn't realize I needed. And a way to name things that I was always feeling, and I thought we had just collectively decided to ignore. I was like, oh, we have collectively decided to ignore this information that is constantly actually being passed between us. So to me, like spirituality is also, I mean, energy work, naming the energies that we are all impacted by, and that we're surrounded by, and that we grow up with, and even things like what I'm carrying of energy that's not mine, it might be yours, or it might be whoever I stood next to in the line at the grocery store. Like, yeah, there it's like a language for all the things I didn't know we could name.
Cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. So I love that. I imagine I'm into super into energy as well. And when you use the word like the fabric of our world, I imagine like a woven tapestry of, all the
Yes.
energies and everything sort of together. And it's really cool, lots of connection. I love Denmark. Let's just talk about Denmark for just 2 seconds. Where should go up in
Sure.
Denmark? I love that.
Well, I mean, I grew up north of Copenhagen. Copenhagen is a central, city.
I lived in Søborg for a little while, which is north, just a
Oh,
little bit north of Copenhagen. So,
cool.
Denmark has a special place in my heart for sure.
Well, in mine too. You know, like I am Danish and now I'm also an American citizen. But I mean, I didn't move out of Denmark until I was 27.
Oh, cool.
So, you know, it was like a big part of my life, and I go back at least once a year. It's expensive now that I live in LA. It's a long trip.
It is a long trip.
Yeah, but I think it's you don't realize how whatever nationality you are until you leave that country. I've
Yeah,
never been
true.
more
Danish,
Danish
yeah,
until I
true.
left,
Yep.
and I was like, oh, I have some opinions about some things, or like
Yeah,
some ways that like
absolutely.
Europeans maybe do things
Yeah,
versus Americans.
totally.
Yeah, it makes you appreciate certain things and also really opens your eyes to like, oh, there's a different way of doing this. Or
Absolutely.
there's a more diverse world out there. And I'm not an outlier in any way. There are places where I'm very normal.
Absolutely, absolutely. Cool. Okay, so before I want to do one more thing before we get into the numerology, which is you said religion and spirituality kind of went hand in hand about 10 years ago. So could you talk a little bit about what changed there or for
I
you or
think,
maybe
yeah,
like
I think it's two things. I think one thing is like how a secular society is structured. So like growing up with a very divided sense of, yeah, spiritual and religion. I think it was just one big label box for me. And then I think it was also growing up with an extremely logical and practical dad and an extremely artistic, emotional, and spiritual mom. And I could tell that sometimes my way, like my dad's way of shutting my mom down was to shut down some of that spiritual aspect or some of that things that couldn't be measured or whatever. And I was like, oh, so if you are someone who talks about even something like it wasn't what you said, but it was how you said it. Or all of these like more emotional, spiritual, or like also, I mean, she was a painter, but it was abstract painting. So it was also like, what do you see? What do I see? How is it created? What is the emotion behind it? I mean, she was a Pisces and she's a seven in numerology. So like, it was not about being explained. And he is very about like, it needs to be, you have to be able to explain things. And so I think I saw my mom being shut down for her spiritual aspects. And I think one of the ways that my dad, I mean, it gets very personal here, but one of my dad's like insults can be like, it seems like it's almost a religious thing for you, this thing. And that was a way for him to say, you seem to be obsessed. You seem to be illogical. Like, you seem so passionate that it doesn't make sense to me. So it had also, like, some of my spiritual journeys has also just been, like, unraveling that messaging from him. That I feel, like, was confirmed in society and people I was surrounded by, or even because I was also, or I am a trained actor, and I was in, like, the acting and theater environment for many years. And even there, where there's a lot, like, the ceiling has disappeared. In terms of like what people like sense, still you're being taken more seriously if, and you're a more serious actor if you can explain yourself and how you get to a certain character or a certain outcome, where I'm like, you can also channel a character. I have done it. It is doable. You don't have to explain yourself. And I think I felt like I had to explain myself a lot. I still think sometimes I'm like, oh, I should have to I have to explain this to others.
Or so it kind of had like a negative connotation then too.
Yeah, I mean, to me, when people say, like, specifically with my dad, I feel bad for him. He's a good guy, but sometimes like that religious bag or label, it's like that's just a bad thing. It's just a bad thing. Where I'm like, I don't belong to any like organized religion, but I respect it.
If you totally. Yeah, exactly. I'm in the same camp. I kind of do my own thing, but like, you know, to each their own. That's why there's so many options, because we are all have so many different preferences.
Yes.
Okay, cool. So let's jump into numerology now. You talked about a little bit of what it was. So how did you decide? You said you were in acting. Like, how were you like, I want to be a numerologist?
Yeah, well, I think it kind of chose me. Okay. It's funny when we think we're in charge of our lives and then we look back and go, someone else was deciding that for me. So back in 2014, I was studying acting in New York, and I had gone through a lot of identity shifts. I think I recommend for everyone to get out of your city, get out of your town, get away from the friends you have right now, even if they're great friends. I really needed that. I really needed to
spread my wings.
Yeah. And I went to New York. I didn't know anybody. Like, sure, I spoke the language, but with like a lot of an accent. And everything was just new and exciting. And I had the ability to kind of reinvent myself or like choose a new identity. And after like 6 months, I was looking at myself and I was like, why are we doing the same thing? Like, why? You're stuck, my friend. You're stuck. You're doing some of the same shit, and you've never gotten such a big chance to shift your identity, and you're not really doing it. And so I had a friend who had been to a numerologist and who had changed her name, and I was very skeptical. But I'm also a very much like an all in or all out black and white kind of girl. Like, I've been having to like learn the nuances, small steps and like, not the big jumps. And something in me was just like, I want to understand this numerology thing or like this name thing. It's weird to me. Like, I'm like, what? We did the gluten and the crystals and the, you know, the essential oils, and like we did all of these things. Like, I'm into the alternative in that way, but like, we're now changing our names. That's a little bit insane. And so I was talking to my friend, and some things that had shifted for her that really had gone from like being a big thing to completely disappearing in her life within like a very short period of time.
And after, I was
like,
the name change.
After the name change,
interesting.
And so I was like, I booked a session with a numerologist, and I was so incredibly like skeptical. I was like, whatever, like I'll just do it.
I'll just try it. We'll see what happens.
My ego was very like, no one is the boss of me. And then I had the session, and it was very painful. I would not necessarily recommend getting a session with a brand new numerologist because
okay.
sometimes they don't really realize the impact of what they say. Because as numerology, like we can look very much like beyond, like underneath the hood
mm-hmm.
of people.
Very easily.
They can get very intimate very fast.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes you don't have to like paint the full picture for people. You can just touch on it and
yeah,
you can
yeah.
go like, and you know. But she got in there. She explained some things and I was like, it's all true and it's very painful and I hate that you can see it and it's things I haven't told people and things that people can't know about me. And she was like, and I'm very sorry, but you can't keep any of your names. Like, if you want to do this, sure, we can change some spellings and whatever, but like, we literally would have to change your entire name. And I was like, this is insane. Let's do it. And so I did. I it's easy to change your name in Denmark. You literally log in to like citizen.com.
Yeah.
In the Danish version, you put in the new name you want. You pay like $90. And then within 48 hours, your name is changed in all institutions and your bank and everything.
Yeah.
And you get, you know, your new ID sent to you. Like, it's very, very easy. So I did that. The name changed. I went to acting class the next day and was like, hey guys, I'm Nova now. And they were like, what? And I was like, yeah, I know you've known me for like 6 months as this other name, but like, I'm Nova. And they were like, that's so weird, but I mean, I guess, okay.
Yeah.
And then so many things in my life changed. Like,
interesting.
Intuitively, I started working on things that I had really ignored before. Like, I intuitively sat down and worked on love. And my connection to love and my understanding of love and like relationships and past trauma. And like, there was a lot of things that just seemed like a nudge or a pull.
It was like a gate opened or something.
Yeah. Something was like, do this thing, then do this thing, then do this next
and
thing.
And I'll make it easier for you somehow.
Yeah. Like, okay. You don't have, and also you don't have to do so much. You can just let this happen. And so I also like kind of like observed some of my old patterns coming up and I intuitively was like, we can just watch the show. Like, you don't have to
engage,
get back on
stage
with that dysfunction, live it out.
Interesting.
So within a month I started dating the guy that's now my husband. Yeah.
That's,
and I saw
cool.
myself like a lot of the struggle and like in, I just the identity that I had been trying to step into on some level, I just did. And as soon as it's kind of like our dreams, once you get really close to your dream, it doesn't seem so scary anymore. You know, like, I don't know, maybe X amount of years ago, the goal was to make, I don't know, $100,000 or even like just a couple of $100 more a month.
Mm-hmm.
And once you do, you're like, what was the big deal about that? Like, 3 years ago, I was stressed out. Now I'm like, I think we need a new goal.
Yeah.
So like, there was a lot of, not a lot of fighting, not a lot of struggle. A lot of things just unraveled and got so much easier. Like, a lot of things in my life got so much easier and I got a lot more lucky. I can kind of like, I've never been as lucky as after my name changed. Like, falling in love with a man that is like the best guy I've ever known, and you know, now we've been married for like 7 years or something like that, so you know he's still the best guy, and I'm like, that's really comforting. So he's still the best guy. Like, I got interested in the numerology thing. I started to study it. I realized I had a gift for it. I was like, that's really cool. Cause I thought I was just study it to know it for myself. But suddenly I was like, my teacher was like, you really have a gift for this. You know that? Like, and I was like, oh,
cool.
And she was like, you know, you could do it, not just study it. You could like share it with other people. And I was like, oh, okay. And then we won the green card lottery. So like, suddenly we could study and work in the US. And after I had, like, we moved to New York again, because he's German, after the green card thing. And I mean, I just did numerology and it worked. I mean, I say, like, you know, I could pay my bills.
Yeah.
And then, like, a publisher reached out, the books you have read, a little bit of numerology,
yeah.
and a little bit of angel numbers, like, that came from a publisher that reached out to me, which is not how you normally get a publishing contract, I just have to say.
That's super cool.
And they were like, you want to write a book about this? And I was like, you want me, who's like, you know, English is my second language and I'm not that good at the grammar. But sure, I'll write a book about numerology. And then like when people started asking about angel numbers, I told my publisher, like, people are really asking about angel numbers. And they were like, you want to do a book about that? I was like, sure.
Cool.
So
it's like everything fell into place.
Yeah, not that there are no struggles. Life is still life.
Of course, yeah.
But a lot of things made me feel like I was supposed to do this because no doors have been as gently opened for me as the numerology.
You're like more in flow.
Yeah, and sometimes my old brain or my own pathways go, shouldn't it be harder? Like, you should struggle more. This is too easy.
Yeah.
This should cost you something. And I'm like, no, it's okay. We don't have to climb every hard mountain. We don't have to take a detour into the dark forest and make it harder for ourselves.
We can take the easy route sometimes.
Easy doesn't mean effortless, but it definitely means like a little more friendly.
Yeah.
I feel like this path is a little more friendly.
Nice.
Yeah, and positive.
Awesome. That's really interesting. So I think that goes well into like the basics of numerology and then kind of getting into the name vibrations, frequencies. I can't remember exactly, but I think, yeah. So it's, there's like, and I did read, so the books, I will link to the books that she's got. They're very cute little books too. In addition to being informative, they are very pretty. You talk about in numerology, and just correct me when I'm wrong. I'm going to try a little bit here, right? Which is, there's like your base number, and that's like, you know, if you were to read numerology like you read astrology in a newspaper, that's probably the number that they would say. Like if you're a one or a two or whatever,
yes,
kind of like the big number that's kind of out there. But there are a lot of other numbers as part of this numerology map that you were talking about. So if you want to just maybe talk a little bit about some of the basics.
Yeah. So our base numbers, and we can call them root numbers, base numbers, what have you. If we read like the older numerology text, and specifically I use Chaldean numerology, which is slightly different from Pythagorean numerology, which is what a lot of people know about, like life path and persona and those kind of terms. So older numerology, Chaldean numerology, is older than Pythagorean numerology. Kind of like, just go, we don't use all those terms. You're just a two, or one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, or nine. Even master numbers like 11 and 22, they're like, you're not a 22. You're a four. Like I was born also on the 28. I'm not a 28. I'm a one, because 2 + 8 = 10 and 1 + 0 = 1.
Yeah.
So we look at people's birthdays and we focus on the day they were born and the year first. So we look at, if you're like, we just look at the day. That's the most important base number to know. So you were born on the 20th.
Yep.
So you're
me
a two.
Too.
Yeah. And then we have the first base number is the day, and the second base number is the year. And this is kind of like also knowing your big three in astrology.
Yep.
So your first base number would be your sun sign, if we had to liken it like that. And your rising sign might be your second base number. And of course, we also look, I mean, I always look at the astrology part of it. Like, of course I do, because it is different if you're a Scorpio too, or if you're a Capricorn too. So we look at these two things, and life is like a dance between these base numbers. And when we get very challenged, which we often get challenged in our upbringing, or that's where our trauma and our wounds come from, that's when someone stepped on the one in me and said, I don't like that, that's too bossy or bitchy, or you're a woman, who are you to lead? Because one of the life goals for someone with the base number one, so that would be someone born on the 1st or the 10th or the 19th or the 28th, has to do with leadership.
Okay.
And a lot of these things are going to look differently based on where we're born, the skin we're born in, the gender we were assigned, like all of these things. The numbers don't really care about these things, but we do. So sometimes I also feel like I have to explain a number differently to a man or a woman or someone who's queer or someone who's black, because it all gets filtered through this.
Yeah, the experience.
And so all base numbers have life lessons and goals and gifts, things that like we need in the world, because we need all the numbers, even though we treat some of them nicer.
Sure.
And we reject some of the others. And then on top of that, like if we see the base numbers as kind of this beam of light that came to Earth when you were born, and you're this specific light, this like brilliant, beautiful, never-ending light, and it's going to continue after you die, then on this light we put these glasses, these name vibrations. That means that both the light will look through these glasses and see the world a certain way, and other people will also look through these glasses and see the light a certain way. And that's how sometimes if people like you read about their base numbers in the book and they go like, I don't see it. I don't really see it. Sometimes these filters really impact us and we think that's who I am.
Yeah.
Because we can't take these filters off unless we change our names. And for most people, they keep most parts of their names throughout their life. They might change their last name, you know, and some people, they get married, they get divorced, they don't go back to a maiden name. They might, like I have had a few clients where they just use their middle name as a last name suddenly, but they're still they're still playing with the same pieces as they started with. And often when people get married, they invite in more of what they already carry. So we will often be attracted to people who already share a name vibration or an energy with us. And so if we take on that vibration, we intensify what was already going on. So sometimes if people, for example, have a lot of nine energy, and nine energy is connected to like Mars. So this is anger, aggression, leadership, temperament, force, push. It's a more masculine, if we had to genderize it, it's a more masculine vibration. If we carry that, then we're not going to see ourselves necessarily as the base number two. So I'm talking about you.
Right, I know. Now. I know. So I did my map for those that can't see what we're
like
doing.
Your little numeroscope.
Yeah. I did my numeroscope. It's like this cool little diamond. There's a lot more complicated than that, but I got a bunch of nines in there, which I was on the bottom right side, right? That's where the nines are. I got a bunch of nines in there too. So when she talks about the nines, and that was really where when I read the nine, I was like, well, like when in the two, it says like, what does it say? Like they're not like, they don't come with an arsenal of weapons or a strong drive to succeed. And I'm like, I'm one of the most like driven people that I know. I was like, that's a really interesting like particular point.
Of course you are. Yeah. And that's also why, like, if one reads about numerology, sometimes one will see oneself more represented in the name vibrations that you carry. So I'm sure if you read about 21-3, which is Rebecca, your first name, which has to do with leadership and success and like learning things and a thirst for knowledge, and like also sometimes having this thing about like
analytical order. I was like, yes, yeah, exactly. Like,
you can't expect to get paid if you don't show up. Which, you know, I'm married to a three, and his work ethic is so insane to me. I'm like, he really has that energy of like, if people complain, I can tell his brain going like on like almost like a spreadsheet going like, how many times did you not show up for the life you want this week? And then based on that, how could you expect to get the outcome that you want? So like all name vibrations, like some of them have more negative connotations. So some of them are going to be more forceful. We could also say the filter is going to be really strong. And it can kind of like erase or suppress certain parts of us. And that's why I say it's always interesting to, if you've had multiple names, to do the numeroscope for each name. Because based on that, like looking at certain people's birth numeroscopes, I can go, what was needed in your childhood home was maybe that you could deal with this, or someone else, like for example, if we have a lot of nine energy, the conversation often has to do with anger, aggression, or power was a key thing in your upbringing, and maybe someone had the monopoly of it. Like they were allowed to be angry, you were not allowed to be angry, or it had to look a certain way, it had to be expressed a certain way, or someone had to sit on it, or someone had more a need to express it. Mm. So sometimes that's also that thing of like, if there's a lot of nine present, then if I had to name a color for the two, maybe it would be pink. But then with a lot of nine, which is the color red, maybe the pink has become red. Mm-hmm. Very, very bold red. Mm. So if I'm describing the color pink, but you're like, nah, it's red. Mm. Then of course you're going to be like, I don't really resonate with
that. Yeah.
But we can't, you know, we can't suppress who we are.
Right.
We will be in that dance between our first base numbers. So for you, like you're a two and a five, then you have the Scorpio energy. Scorpio energy is like also nine. Mm-hmm. So like it's already a little bit in you. Something is like fanning the flames, or maybe people need to get a little bit closer. That's often happens with Scorpios. Like you get a little closer and then you see the claws.
Yes.
Sometimes they look like such nice soft cats. And then you get close and you're like, oh, okay. But for you, like the dance between the two and a five, and the five comes from the year you were born, like communication, exchange. I mean, you have a podcast. Some of these are like easy to point out. And also like we will usually be celebrated a little bit more for certain parts of our base number. So like, for example, I cannot tell you how many times my oneness has been needed by others and shamed at the same time.
Interesting.
So like that thing where like I have a natural authority, and people, if I've had whatever little job, you know, when I was doing acting a lot, so like, you know, maybe I worked at a theater or a bakery or an ice cream shop, every time people talked to me they were like, so you own this place? And I was like, no. No. Oh, but you're the manager. And I was like, oh, no, I just work here. So like, even if you don't feel like you express this energy or see yourself fully in it, people might like pick up on it anyway, because we kind of can't hide. It comes out at some point.
Thank you so much, everybody, for listening to part one of this two-part episode with Nova Lee Wilder. Our second Danish person that we've interviewed on this podcast, which is kind of fun. So podcast guests, it is a website that I signed up for, which was actually really cool. And they help you find guests for your podcast. So the podcast isn't sponsored by podcast guests, but if you're getting ready to start a podcast or you're like, how do I find people to be on my podcast? Podcastguests.com is a great resource. It's really easy to use. Every time you do a podcast with someone from that website, you can also do some additional marketing for your podcast. So it was really very easy to set up. I had a really good time. Go to their website. You can also use it if you're interested in being on more podcasts as a way to kind of get yourself out there a little bit more as well. And with that, I will leave it there. Please join us next week for part two of this numerology episode. We'll see you then. Thank you for joining me on today's spirituality what? Adventure. Subscribe, rate, review, and share this podcast. Visit us on Instagram at spirituality.what to interact, tell us what spirituality means to you, and even provide some of your own personal musings. Human on, you phenomenal spiritual beings.